1.
It's time for Douglas County Real Estate Update, presented by Oregon Life Homes on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Shane Mast with us this morning. Shane, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good. It is Friday, and we're here to get real estate information for from you for us. So what do you want to share today?
Well, just a couple of things quickly, and then I'll get into it. I was going to talk about the home buyer checklist, like the steps that a buyer does in order to buy a home. But a quick stat from the United States of for January. January had the most multiple offer situations in any month in U.S. history. That means more than one offer per house. It happened the most times it's ever happened before last month, which is kind of crazy to think about when it's winter.
Wow, that is unusual.
So that made me think there's lots of buyers out there, which I already knew that, but that stat just puts it even out there even further. So I thought with this many buyers, let's talk about the steps of buying a house.
Yeah, it's not just like going out and going to the store and picking something up.
Nope. It'd be like going to the store and there's five people that want the same thing and you have to bid on it to get it.
Well, that could be coming in the future, but that's a different animal. So if somebody's interested, what's step one?
Well, step one would be to meet and choose your real estate agent. So that might seem easy, but there are a lot of real estate agents and not all are created equal. So you really want to interview agents until you find one that you really, really like and feel comfortable that they're going to be communicative and that they can answer your questions. And if they can't answer them, that they will work hard to find somebody that can answer the question. So number one is choosing your real estate agent. The second thing, which your agent can help you with, is you got to, if you're cash, that you would skip this. But if you're getting a loan, the second step is to get pre-qualified for a mortgage loan, and then you can find out which types of programs that you qualify for, whether it's FHA, VA, conventional, USDA, lots of different options for different money down or even no money down. But once you figure that out, you know about what your payment would be at different price points, how much you can borrow, and what types of loan programs you qualify for, which in turn will let your agent know what type of houses he or she should start looking for you.
So it sounds like if you don't have that figured out, you really trying to go any further doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And once the inventory got so low that there would become multiple offers, sellers are no longer accepting offers without either a cash proof of funds or without a letter from a lender saying that this borrower qualifies for this amount of money. Because the seller, if without one of those two proofs, a seller is going to take somebody else's offer that has one of those two things.
So once that is set, what do you do next?
The next thing is you start looking at houses. You start house hunting. Your agent will help you. And, of course, with the internet these days, there's lots and lots of places for buyers to also look themselves. You start looking at properties with your agent, and when you find one you like, the next step is to write an offer. And your agent will help you with that. You want to write an offer that, especially if you're competing. We just had one in our office at Oregon Life Homes, 10 offers on the same house. And our agent, it wasn't an Oregon Life Home house. It was what Oregon Life Home agent won, beat out 9 other offers and got the house under contract for their client. So making an offer, you really want an agent that knows what they're doing and knows how to win in multiple offer situations.
And you don't always know when you're writing it up that a whole bunch of other people are doing the same thing at the same time.
No, you have to assume that, but it is something that listing agents will disclose if you ask, are there any other offers? Yes. How many other offers are there? And they will usually tell you that. They won't tell you what the other offers are, but when the average sale price is 101% of list price, which is the average home right now is selling for more than the seller's asking, you can assume we're going to have to go a little higher than what they're asking.
So how much higher do properties go for sometimes than the asking price?
It really depends on the property, and it depends on your price point. So I'll just give you an example without giving any names or anything. A home was recently listed in Roseburg for $350,000. I did the comps before we made an offer. My client really wanted the house. I comped the house at $400,000. So it was $50,000 low. So in that case, the agent was trying to get multiple offers and drive the price up even higher than if they would have listed it at 400. And so that's what they did. And they did get multiple offers. I think there were five or six offers on that house. And it ended up, I can't tell you what we got it for, but we got it for somewhere in between where I comped it and where they listed it at. So in that case, it didn't really work out too well for the seller. It didn't end up getting driven up high enough to where it would have been had I listed it. But my buyer's happy. We have it under contract now for less than it's worth, which is very rare in this market. But so sometimes it's $25,000 over. I'd say 10% over will usually win it for you. But a lot of buyers don't want to pay, you know, $440,000 for a $400,000 list price. But if it's important that your agent can find comps and say, okay, here's three other houses like this one that sold for $440,000. So it is, you know, paying more than asking price has to make sense. It has to make financial sense, and it still has to appraise. The bank still is going to send an appraiser. And if you offered $440,000 and it was accepted and the appraiser says, oh, no, this house is only worth $430,000. Then it becomes another negotiation between the buyer and seller about what are you going to do about this $10,000 gap.
Wow, a lot to go into it. Anything else people should know about?
Yeah, I don't have enough time to talk about all of it. I'll probably do a part two next Friday because I'm only on step five of 13. But after you get an accepted offer, you open escrow. So this will be the last thing I talk about. Opening escrow would be the sale agreement that's signed by both buyer and seller would go to an escrow company. The buyer would put down some type of earnest money. And earnest money, a lot of people ask what that is, especially first-time home buyers. Earnest money is money that you put down that goes towards your closing costs and prepaids or your down payment. So it sits there at the title company. And it's generally about, there's no rule on how much it has to be, but what it does is it holds your spot. It gives puts some skin in the game so the seller will take it off the market and no one else can make an offer once you've done that. So it holds your spot if you get out of the deal later for one of the five contingencies or other reasons, you can get your earnest money back. And generally you will get your earnest money back if you back out, if you have a good agent, so that, you'll get out of the deal for one of the contingencies in the offer.
So we'll have more about this next week. For folks to get a hold of you, what's your number?
541-391-4945, or you can just Google Oregon Life Homes.
All right, Shane Mast, Oregon Life Homes, the Douglas County Real Estate Update to wrap up the morning report.